holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Jesus made it all to him. I don't know how much. All. So when he says, present your bodies, how much of them is he saying? All. The teacher's talking about our physical bodies. No, but it's his way of encompassing. We owe him what? Everything. We owe him everything. So we are to present them as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your right, which is your spiritual worship. He is God. Is he not worthy of our worship? Every day we have the choice, we have the opportunity and the choice as to whether or not we will worship him. Right? And God is saying, this is what we owe. He's done this is what we owe. But I want you to notice what Paul's appeal is made on. As I said, he's an apostle. He's one that has been sent by God to plant churches in various places of the world. He is an apostle. Being an apostle is a spiritual gift, by the way, according to Ephesians 4. It is a spiritual gift. He was gifted. find this acceptable. Now, you and I may come to a conclusion about someone else that maybe each of you is so acceptable over there. But God acceptable is a whole other story. That's a whole other reason. It's what He defines as acceptable. Jesus, He didn't teach as the rabbis of the day. But if the rabbi in the community had some sort of restriction or some sort of blessing or some sort of piece of counsel for somebody that we need to do this, we need to make a change and do That's what it means, conformed with. So apparently there are two ways to be shaped and to conform to. And apparently we have a shape. We all had a shape at one time. And it looked like what? It looked like the world from where we came. Right? See, he wouldn't tell us to not be that way if we weren't. You with me? See, some people read that and say, well, you're not talking about me there, because I no longer conform to the world. Well, I agree with you if he was writing these letters to the world. But he's not writing these letters to the world. Who's he writing to? He's writing to the church. So who's he talking to? He's talking to us. We have a default shape, and our default shape looks like the world. He's saying, beginning as the people of faith coming together, what a church looks like, what a church, how they shall worship. He says, beginning, you won't be conformed anymore. Right? Your shape won't look like that of the world anymore. Don't be shaped together with it. What is that? What is that shape? What is our default nature? The nature that the world has, or the nature that Christ has given? Our default nature is of the world. Paul addresses this in Matthew chapter 7. We have a default nature, don't we? Our default nature is not simply selfishness, sinfulness, if you will. That's our default, is what he's saying. Selfishness, being about self, looking out for number one. We all struggle with it to particular degrees. Paul already told us. Everyone does. I do. Back in chapter 7, right? Back in chapter 7, it says, we all do. But remember his encouragement. His encouragement was, just because you're fighting does not disqualify you from the righteousness of Christ. Because it ends in life, entire struggle of these two natures in one body. He ends the entire struggle by saying, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, we fight. Yes, we struggle. So this conformity is this daily struggle every day. Paul saying, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed. People of faith apparently are not to remain in the fault. Conformed. It requires something else. If you're not conformed, you have to be transformed. Another very, very interesting word. Same thing, by the way, only found in two verses in all of the scripture. Transformation. It comes from one word, meta, if you will, or we should say meta, we think it's change, but actually the prefix is meta or among, being among, if you will. And it's among or accompanied by, and then or to be born. There's an accompanying form to transformation, if you will. be so far removed, so far removed of what we were supposed to be, that we really, really think we can boast about knowing what the will of God is. For me right now, the will of God is He wants us to know that He loves us. And we need to start there, please. But I'm going to start getting the minds around that. my faith had a problem, it was my fault. I've been told by countless people that my faith is a muscle and it needs to be exercised. It's not a muscle, it's a gift. God has provided for you. I didn't have none. Some people think that faith is inherent, that every human being walking around has an inherent faith. Not true. We have to be given the faith that we need. There's 2 months. You know that most of our theology in the history of the Christian church came about when 2 months decided to fight on something. Right? 2 months, quick position, they decided to fight. I'm glad that they did, because we ended up getting tickets to look at the fight. So-and-so said it was this way. So-and-so said no, it was this way. And they duked it out. They fought it out. Well, there were 2 months who were arguing about the sinful nature. They were arguing about the human nature, the fallen nature, and how severe it was, the damage that was done to them. And basically what 1 month said was everything was destroyed except what he believed was this little eternal seed, which was this constant antenna, if you will, that would always communicate with God. I like the idea of that, but actually, biblically, I don't agree with it. The next one says, no, even the antenna was wiped out. See, if you've got an antenna, then all God has to do is provide the information. If you don't have an antenna, even after you have to provide the antenna for you to be able to believe the information that is going to give you, I haven't agreed with that one. Because Paul said that you didn't even have faith. But hold on, we're people of faith. That's right, we're people of faith because God gave it to you. By the way, don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the faith God gave me. I'm not ashamed of the grace of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That we even have to have faith given to us, if you will. This is why we can't think more highly than we are. That's why we can't even think more highly than we do. Jesus, in John 14, says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. How do we get to the Father? We come to Christ. And how is it we can be assured that we come to Jesus that we come to the Father? Because he says, he is what? He is the Father. I and the Father are one. Jesus is our approachable God. Doctors and nurses and religious Jew nor Greek. This was religious. This was also culture. They were to be together. They were all economic laws, slave or free, poor or rich, and the church had poor people.